Little chap was a bag of bones, starving, eyes gone crusty, hair black with dirt and smelly. Two hot red spots for cheeks. He put a hand to the child's forehead, and it was burning up. Back in the potting shed he saw its feet, no shoes, scabby and swollen pus oozing through the dirt. A thorn or something deep inside. The child trembled. Fever, pain, starvation, fear. If he found an animal in that state, John thought, he'd get his gun and put it out of its misery. He locked it in the shed and went to fetch the missus. She came. She peered right up close, got a whiff and stepped back. No, no, I don't know whose he is. Perhaps if we cleaned him up a bit. I'll go and fill the tub in the kitchen. They peeled the stinking rags away from the child. They're for the bonfire, the missus said, and tossed them out into the yard. The dirt went all the way down to the skin. The child was encrusted. The first tub of water turned instantly black. In order to empty and refill the tub, they lifted the child out, and it stood, wavering on its better foot. Naked and dripping, streaked with rivulets of grey-brown water, all ribs and elbows. They looked at the child, at each other, at the child again. John, I may be poor of sight, but tell me, are you not seeing what I'm not seeing? Aye. Little chap, indeed. It's a little maid. They boiled kettle after kettle, scrubbed its skin and hair with soap, brushed hardened dirt out from under the nails. Once she was clean, they sterilized tweezers, pulled the thorn from the foot. She flinched, but didn't cry out, and they dressed and bandaged the wound. They gently rubbed warmed castor oil into the crust around the eyes. They put calamine lotion onto flea bites, petroleum jelly onto the chapped, split lips. They combed tangles out of long, matted hair. They pressed cool flannels against her forehead and her burning cheeks. At last, they wrapped her in a clean towel and sat her at the kitchen table where the missus spooned soup into her mouth and John peeled her an apple. Gulping down the soup, grabbing at the apple slices, she couldn't get it down fast enough. The missus cut a slice of bread and spread it with butter. The child ate it ravenously. They watched her. The eyes, cleared of their crust, were slivers of emerald green. The hair was drying to a bright red gold. The cheekbones jutted wide and sharp in the hungry face.
"Are you thinking what I'm thinking?" said John.
"Aye."
"Will we tell him?"
"No."
"But she does belong here."
"Aye."
They thought for a moment or two.
"What about a doctor?"
The pink spots in the child's face were not so bright. The missus put a hand to the forehead, still hot, but better.
"We'll see how she goes tonight. Get the doctor in the morning."
"If needs be."
"Aye, if needs be."
The child stayed and became the ghost of the house, mostly invisible and yet not quite invisible. There was the closing of doors that had been left open and the opening of doors left shut, the flash of movement in a mirror that made you glance up, the shimmer of a draught behind a curtain when there was no window open. She was the secret of the house, and like all secrets, she had guardians.